Well, there's no cure for autism, which is a general term for a group of complex disorders of brain development. To call raising kids afflicted with autism or autism spectrum disorder would be a challenge. Calling it a challenge would probably be underselling it by quite a bit. To that end, some parents say that maintaining a sense of humor is an essential component. Here to talk about it are Keenan Stump. He's a speech therapist who works with many clients within the autism spectrum. And Keenan, welcome back to the show. So good to have you here.
Thank you, Steve.
And Olivia Citrinovich is also here. She's the mother of a child with ASD, and she works as an editor for Hallmark. And Olivia, nice to have you too.
It's nice to be here.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Well, Keenan, maybe the question isn't whether humor is essential or not. Maybe the question is, how much humor do you have to work through the tough years when kids are little? Tell us about that.
I think that, humor is a key piece of all of our lives. So I don't know that it necessarily limits itself to just working with children.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, children with autism. But I feel bad for people that go to their daily work and, live their daily lives without the ability to just laugh at stuff. So,
mm-hmm. So you got to have it, you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's essential.
So, Olivia, how important has it been to you?
Oh, it's a part of my daily life. There are so many situations that my husband and my children and I experience that you can't help but laugh about, because if you didn't, you'd go insane,
mm-hmm.
really.
And give me an example of that. What are you talking about?
Well, for instance, I was sharing a story with Keenan about how dinner time in my house can sometimes be described as a Chinese fire drill. My son Otto, who is 4 and adorable, he lives on the autism spectrum. He will take a bite of dinner, jump up out of his chair, run around the table, come back, sit down, do it again, over and over again. And I was describing this to Otto's teacher, who happens to be Asian. I said, "Dinner is like a Chinese fire drill." Oh, I'm so sorry. And if there are any Chinese firefighters listening, thank you for your service. Sorry if this is offensive.
That's what you got to do, eh?
Pretty much.
Yeah. And you and your husband figured out the importance of humor when? Like from early on or what?
From the get-go. I grew up with a brother on the autism spectrum, and my brother was nonverbal.
Ah.
So I was pretty much prepared for this when my son got the diagnosis. And every day my son does something that makes us laugh out loud funny. I mean, he makes up his own song lyrics. It's hilarious. And even when he struggles, we can usually find the humor in some of the most difficult situations.
You know, for folks who don't have kids who are autistic, I imagine it can be a challenge for them to understand the need for humor.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been in situations where maybe they wondered why you were laughing, and if you were laughing at your son in maybe a way that might be inappropriate?
Well, usually it puts people at ease, and they will immediately. I have a lot of friends who are parents of mostly typical children, and typical is a fancy way for saying not autistic.
Yeah.
But most of my friends will be like, "Oh, my 2-year-old does that too. He throws himself on the floor just like that." And
yeah.
It kind of puts them at ease. And I want people to feel comfortable talking to me about autism. I don't want people to feel like they have to word everything so carefully.
Well, people feel that way though, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel that way sometimes. It can be awkward, right?
But it can be. But I don't want for me personally. I'm more comfortable when someone says, "Olivia, why is Otto repeating 'green means go' for the 100th time?" And I can explain to them about echolalia and repeating and why that soothes him, because I've had to learn myself. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And you deal with that too sometimes, folks who aren't familiar with all of this and sort of wondering, how to deal with this, Keenan. What do you advise them?
I tend to focus on the things that make the kids unique and make them funny. So, to use that example of Otto, like he's a musical kid. Kid
mm-hmm.
loves music. He loves oranges. One of my favorite Otto stories is he woke up from a nap. I came to see him one day at his school after mm-hmm. a nap, and he was kind of waking up on his cot and blinking away the sleep. And I said, "Hi, Otto." And he said, "Hi, Keenan." And I said, "You sleeping?" I'm like, "Yeah." "Do you have any dreams?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "What'd you dream about?" And he kind of gazed into the distance for a minute, and then he looked back at me and he said, "Oranges."
He's not kidding.
And it's like it made my day. Like,
yeah.
It's the best part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that just worked for him, right?
And he knew that it was funny. Like, mm-hmm. he knew that was funny and that made me laugh. So then he started making more jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's great. Keenan, you deal with kids on the spectrum in your professional life as a speech therapist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how often do you experience funny moments with your own clients? Can you tell us about one?
All the time. So I have so many. So maybe one just from last week. And it was one of those moments where you start to question the whole space-time continuum and your role in the universe. I was working with a child, and we're working on social skills and developing, you know, we called it the question game. So he has a challenge with trying to keep on topics and keep topics moving along. So we have this kind of stack of really cliche conversation starters. And so one of them came up and it said, you know, if you won the lottery today, you know, what would you do? And he's 8 or 9 years old, and he thought about it for a second, and I said, well, you know, you've got all this money. You know, what would you buy? And he looked at me. It's another fruit-related story. I just realized.
Go figure.
He said, I'd buy grapes.
Yeah.
And so I caught myself, you know, then trying to prompt him to something. You wouldn't buy a boat or a plane? And he thought about it for a second, and he's like, no, I don't really need a boat or a plane, but I really like grapes. And it made me feel bad, you know, like it's really funny. I got in the car and stared like, maybe I just need grapes. I don't know.
Sometimes life isn't all that complicated.
Materialistic,
right?
Americans, yeah. You know, like, yeah. Gee, calm down.
Yeah. Well, you guys are sort of celebrating this idea of the importance of humor with autism with an event coming up here, an evening with the Rents, a benefit for Camp Encourage that takes place at 7 on Friday evening, a week from tonight, right?
Yep.
February 28th at the Mission Theater at 5903 Johnson Drive in Mission. I know exactly where that is. We have details about this event on our website, kcur.org/uptodate. What are you trying to do here with this night, Olivia?
Well, we're calling it, or at least I'm calling it, a celebration of love and laughter. When you get a group of parents of children with autism together, we can immediately just start relating to each other and sharing, you know, what happened throughout our day. But you don't have to have a child on the spectrum to enjoy it and understand and relate to it. And I just, it's so good to be in a time when people are talking about autism. When I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, people didn't really know much about it. And now you can't encounter a person who doesn't know what autism is. So it's so nice to be able to talk about it and even
that
laugh
has
about
changed.
It.
The recognition of this issue, the awareness of it, we're in a whole different element now than we used to be, right?
It's completely different. I remember I would tell people, oh, don't make fun of my brother. He's autistic. And they would say, artistic? No. He's autistic. Now I'll tell people, like, oh, I have a nephew. Oh, I have a son. Oh, my best friend's child is autistic. And it's so great to be able to bump into these people on a daily basis. It makes things so much easier when Otto's throwing a tantrum in public, when he won't get out of the car in the drop-off lane at school. People know we're having an autism moment. He's not just being a brat.
Yeah.
So,
Lou, this just changed. Why? I mean, not Lou, Keenan. Lou's coming up in a minute. You're Keenan. Yeah. Why has this changed so much?
I think that popular media has had a lot to do with it. So the rise of certain personalities, you know, Temple Grandin, for example, is
She's been here a couple times. Yeah.
I mean, she's amazing.
She's amazing.
A wonderful person. She has autism. And she has these incredible strengths and abilities. And she has helped to sort of change the way that the public views autism, and I'm thankful to her for that, because I always felt like these families that I'm lucky enough to work with every day have these incredible experiences, these great stories, and there seemed to be a disconnect between that and how a lot of popular media, even some autism advocacy organizations, tend to focus on these fear-driven statistics, you know, 1 in 54 boys and 1 in 88 children, and you sort of It just seemed like they didn't match. They weren't lining up, because these families are hilarious and resilient. And
And how are you getting ready for this event? Because you've had some professional help from a local comedian, Brady Goodman. What's he doing to help you guys get this thing together?
And Brady Goodman and Steve Moser is a comedian from Lawrence who was one of the finalists in the Kansas City Last Comic Standing competition.
Yeah. So they're helping you sort of hone your laugh lines and work with timing and all these important things.
They
right?
have been fantastic. They've been on call pretty much for helping parents. Wouldn't you say? I mean, sort of.
Oh, yes. I email Brady. I'm like, is this funny, not funny, or funny, funny? Can I include this, or is it just not funny, funny?
Yeah.
And he's like, that's a good one. Include that one. I mean, like I said, daily experiences. I was telling Brady about picking up my, I have my 6-year-old son who is, he's not autistic, but I was picking him up for kindergarten, and his PE teacher ran up to meet his new little sibling and said, oh, is this your baby sister? I guess I'll see her here in 5 years, right? And my son, Oscar, goes, not if she's autistic, because his autistic brother goes to another school. And the teacher was like, huh, what? And I was like, oh, I have another son. He goes to a special school because he's, and she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it was funny. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Well, so people who don't have autistic kids, are they going to enjoy this evening?
I think they will, because I think everyone's been touched by autism in some way. So if they don't have a child in their home on the spectrum, they know somebody who does. They've seen it on television. It's so much a part of our lives.
And something else that's interesting about that, Steve, is that as the organizer, I have access to the attendee list on the ticketing site that we're using. So I can see a lot of the names on there, and I have to say that the vast majority of the names are not families of people with autism. It's researchers and other therapists and educators and people in the community that I just recognize their name and think, oh, well.
And this is, Keenan, this is a benefit for something called Camp Courage. What is Camp Courage?
Camp Encourage is in
– Encourage.
Encourage.
Right. Yeah.
And they are – it's an organization that they have a camp in Linwood, Kansas. So it's just west of Kansas City, and they have two sessions across the summer that are – the summer camp. So there's hayrack rides and, you know, they do zip line and arts and crafts. But they have a higher number of children with autism that are there, and they have peer models, you know, kids their age and people with specific training. And they tend to pay attention to some of those sensory characteristics. You know, they tend to not bombard them with bugle music in the morning, for example, you know, because we all love that.
Yeah.
And I've gone out there a few times to help with the campfire night. So I'll go with another friend, Steve, and we play campfire songs. And it's just fun. It's an amazing place. So
I want to bring Lou Melgarejo into our conversation. He's a married father of three whose oldest daughter has autism spectrum disorder. A television director by trade, he created Lou's Land, where he blogs about a life touched by autism from a father's perspective. In 2011, he was presented with the Speak Out Award by Autism Speaks for going above and beyond in raising awareness of autism to the public through the media for his wordless cry on video for autism healthcare reform. And I watched it last night. It's an absolutely terrific video. We'll try to get a link to it on our website, kcur.org. Lou, welcome to the show. It's nice to have you.
Thanks for having me. Wow, did I do all that?
You did all that. Yeah, absolutely.
That was great.
How old was your daughter when she was diagnosed, and what year was that, Lou?
Well, let's see. She was not diagnosed until she was four, so that would have been 2009. But we actually knew when she was about 13 months or so that she was autistic. We had a friend of ours who worked with special needs kids, saw some signs, and was brave enough to approach us and tell us that, you know, he had some concerns.
Hmm. What drew your attention to this, An Evening with the Rents, this benefit we're talking about that's going on out here in Kansas City a week from tonight?
Well, one of my good friends that I've met through this incredible journey of advocacy is Mike Wasmer, who's a Kansas native there and does a lot of advocacy on behalf of you know, autistic families there. He works with Autism Speaks, and somehow I think he knows Keenan, and they were able to kind of connect the dots, and he knew that I had a bit of a background in some theater work and improv and thought that I might be a good fit for the show.
Tell us a little bit about the video that you made that designed to sort of increase awareness about all of this. In the video, just to explain to our listeners, you speak directly to the camera, or you don't speak to the camera, but you look directly at the camera, and you're holding a series of index cards in your right hand, and you're going through them sort of one by one and very slowly, I guess, sort of explaining your situation and what you're up against. How did you get involved with that thing?
Well, you know what? It's funny. Sometimes moments of inspiration come from desperation. And what had happened was my daughter, who is verbal emerging and now really starting to talk even more and more and more. At the time, she had just started to use sign language. It was the first time that she was able to communicate that she wanted something. Mm. And our speech therapy got denied by our insurance when it came up for renewal because they said she wasn't showing significant improvement. And it just devastated me. And I was angry beyond belief. So one night I was up with Bianca. She has some, like some autistic kids do, she has some disturbed sleep patterns, and I was up at like 3 or 4 in the morning and just decided to just start writing some stuff down. And that's kind of when I did the darker portion of the video, was, you know, while I was actually awake with my daughter while she was in, you know, laying down on the couch watching TV, but awake. And it really just, you know, I really couldn't have imagined just kind of how it reverberated amongst the autism community. I really thought I just was making it for my friends and for my family.
So wait, that whole thing was your idea and your idea alone?
Well, I mean, clearly I took some liberties from Bob Dylan, Subterranean Blues, I think. Yeah, I mean, the words are mine. And, you know, the idea was mine. And, you know, I guess what I'd really like people to know, too, about that video is it's called Fixing Autism. The fixing is in quotes. I've never once in my life ever viewed my child, my daughter Bianca, as being in need of fixing. It's the system. It's the system that's broke immeasurably beyond belief. Slowly but surely, through organizations like Autism Speaks, we're going state by state and getting state mandates passed that are changing the laws and requiring insurance companies to cover meaningful autism legislation or meaningful autism therapies. But, you know, it's a state-by-state process because, as we all know, the federal government is a little broken right now, and you can't get anything done at that level. So at the state level, we're going state-by-state and doing this. And it's, you know, it's really it's something that needs to be done and probably something that a lot of people don't even really understand, that we have this issue where kids, because of their diagnosis, are being denied the ability to reach their full potential just because of their condition.
Yeah, Lou, just in 10 seconds we have left.
I just like to say I'm a lot funnier for the evening of the ranch right now. I'm very serious. But
just in, thank goodness, Lou. Holy smokes.
In 10 seconds, Lou, autism and the awareness of it today compared to 10 years ago, how would you describe it?
Leaps and bounds. I mean, we've improved so much. I think that people are aware there's still a lot of work to be done. But, you know, I think you're starting to see just maybe even by sheer diagnosis rate increasing, more and more people are aware just because they have some sort of connection.
One Evening with the Rents, a benefit for Camp Encourage, takes place at 7 p.m. Friday, a week from tonight, at the Mission Theater, 5903 Johnson Drive. You'll find more information at kcur.org/up-to-date. And Lou Melgarejo, I sure appreciate you taking some time, Lou. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for nailing my last name.
You bet. I got close. Keenan Stump, nice to have you too.
Thanks again.
And Olivia Citrinovich. I'm going to get that right. Citrinovich.
That's
thanks.
Right.
Nice to have you here too.
Thank
thanks
you.
For taking
Thank
some
you.
Time.